Praise God. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. That would be you and me, right, creatures? All the creation of God. Hallelujah. Father, I just pray in Jesus' name that you grant me the utterance to speak, Lord. I don't have anything to give today except what you give to me first. So I thank you, Lord, that you will help me, Holy Spirit, to speak what I need to speak, and that you would open our eyes, our hearts, to receive the revelation, the word of God today, that we might be changed. Lord, make every crooked place straight in us, we pray. Prepare us, Lord, as a people that will bring you glory in this world, Lord, as we represent you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. How many ever watched that show on YouTube? It's called My Self-Reliance. Anybody ever seen that? My Self-Reliance. It's about a homesteader, a guy that basically buys a piece of property, and he builds a cabin, you know, and just plants gardens, does the whole thing. It's from scratch. Using a lot of the older technology even, you know. Technology. But the whole idea of this show is that he's able to take care of himself in a situation where, you know, he's nowhere near any commodities or anything like that. He does have supplies, obviously. But he just does everything by hand and works really hard, even drilling. He's using the hand drills, remember those old hand drills, to drill holes and to hang things and whatever, making pegs and everything. And it's quite interesting. But again, the whole focus is that, you know, he's able to do these things. And, you know, in the natural, God does give us certain abilities, right? He gives us the ability to invent. He gives us this thing called creativity, right? We were made in His image, and so we can create things and we can build things, right? And, you know, God gives us the ability to provide, right? Provide for our families, for our needs, etc., right? And so, but there are just some situations that we face in life where we are helpless to do anything about it. And often it's there by God's design. Have you found yourself in a place where you're in the middle of something that you just don't know what to do, don't know how to get through it, are wondering if you will get through it? But we find ourselves at times in those situations where we, in our own ability, our own strength, are not able to do anything about it. And so what the enemy wants you to do in those times is to worry about something you have no control over, right? Stress out about something you have no control over. But there are these situations, you know, that we run into. But this is what I believe the Lord is saying. And that is, the less dependent we are on ourselves, the more dependent on God we become. All right? So sometimes these things are there by God's design. He brings you into a place of utter helplessness so that you will turn to the only one that can help you, so that you'll learn of His faithfulness and even His willingness, amen, to be your all in all, to be your Lord, to be Lord of your life. We may claim Him as a Savior, but is He Lord? And so God needs to bring us to a place where we realize that without Him, we can do nothing. Again, we're talking about the will of God and that which God has called us to, the responsibility He's given us in this world to be a representative of Him, requires His ability, it requires His grace, His power to do so. And so God has to wean us, in this, especially in this area, off self-dependence. We cannot effectively minister the grace of God by ourselves. And it's not of us, it's of Him. So in order to learn how to lean on Jesus, and by the way, the title of this is based upon an old hymn called Learning to Lean on Jesus. Somebody remember that one? It says, learning to lean on Jesus, finding more power than I'd ever dreamed. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Now, we don't like being in a place where we have to trust or rely on somebody else. Somebody say amen. We like to take care of things ourselves, but there's times when you're not going to be able to take care of yourself without the help of somebody else. So the more dependent on God we become, hear this, the greater the grace of God in our lives. The more dependent on God we become, the greater the grace of God in our lives. So God wants to, first of all, make us aware of our insufficiency. And we see an example of this in the book of Joshua, in Joshua chapter 1. And this is after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord. It came to pass, right, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. So here God instructed Joshua to pass through the Jordan. And where was he taking him? He was taking him into the promised land. But in order for them to enter into the promise of God, they had to pass over the Jordan. All right? Now, God often takes us into places we've never been before. We experience new situations, right? We have these experiences in life where we're like, wow. Have you ever had the saying, how did I ever get here? Or why did this happen to me even, right? But the word Jordan means to descend. It means to go down or to descend. And so in order for them to be able to cross over, they had to first descend into the river. They had to cross the river. Amen. And so Jordan represents death. It's really a type. And we're going to talk about tonight a little bit more about the mikvah, the rite of passage into new life and through the immersion in water, which is what water baptism is about. It's talking about a death to the old way, death to the old life, all right, that we might walk in new life. But we have to transition from where we were to where we're going. And this is where some will fail and fall short because of fear of the unknown. Sometimes God's going to call us. He's going to challenge us to do something we've never done before. But we're going to have to rely upon his faithfulness to do what he said he would do if we would but obey him and take the step. Amen? When you pray for somebody, you have to take a step of obedience. Right? Step out. If you're playing it safe, if you're in the boat, well, you're not going to walk on the water, right? If Jesus is out on the water, get out on the water with him. That's the safest place to be. Would you agree? So the Jordan speaks really of death to the old life. It was a transition point. They were moving from where they were to where God was going to bring them. That was that land that was flowing with milk and honey. Amen. And so why did God bring them to the edge of this river? Because God was bringing them to the end of themselves. And this is the tough thing, is that we don't like being brought to the end of ourselves. Because we like to save ourselves. We want to hold on to our lives. But in order to be a disciple of Jesus, to be a follower of Jesus, you have to let go of your life. And you have to entrust your life to him. Amen. And when you are entrusting your life to him, you do trust the Lord, then his grace will be there for you to accomplish what he's called you to do in this world. So it's about learning to really die to ourselves. That's what Jesus was talking about. It means we're fully trusting the Lord. Dying to yourself means I'm going to fully trust the Lord now. Amen. In this new way. I can't rely on Egypt. I can't go back to where I was. Some people try to live a double life. Amen. They're still in the world and they still want to follow Jesus. But Jesus calls us out of Egypt and brings us into the promise. Amen? And you won't enter into the promise except by faith in that God had promised you already that land. And that land is a land of freedom. Amen. It's a place where God's going to take you. Amen. Step by step. And in the process, there are going to be battles. Amen. There are going to be wars. We have an adversary. Amen. But the Lord has already promised us freedom if we will exercise by faith the authority that God has given us already to defeat every giant that will stand in our way by faith in His promise. He promises us freedom. Freedom from sin. Freedom from the power of it. Amen? Freedom from the devil. Hallelujah. From the power of the devil. Because Jesus Christ is Lord and has overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. Amen? Hallelujah. And in Him we are overcomers. We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. So naturally we're self-reliant, right? But when it comes to accomplishing the will of God, we need to rely upon the power of God. Now listen to what the Apostle Paul said, 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 5, for our gospel did not come to you in word only. Just pause there and take a look at that. It didn't come to you in word only, but also in power, dunamis, amen, God's power, and in the Holy Spirit. And in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. You see, the Apostle Paul did not trust in himself to be the apostle of God. He didn't have any confidence in his flesh or in his own ability. He was not relying upon himself to be a servant of the Lord. God had broken him of that. He said, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And God is working in our lives to bring us to a death to self, to our way, so that we'll be in position to walk in His way. And His way is glorious. His way is superior to our way. God wants you to understand that what He has is superior than what you think you want. Are you willing to trust Him all the way? Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And now he says, the life which I now live in this flesh, in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He wasn't saying that he was no longer an individual or a personality, all right? As some people kind of get weird about that, and they think you got to walk around and be spooky, all right? No, you're still you. But you, amen, are in partnership with Jesus, all right? So we just partner with the Lord and we do life together with Him. And we rely upon Him for the grace to overcome, first of all, ourselves. And then he that is in the world, the devil, amen? And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So Jesus didn't die for us in order that we might go on living our lives as we choose. Some people have that wrong. They think that I accept Jesus, He's my Savior now, and now I live my life for me. No, that's not at all what God is expecting of His followers. And if you try to live that kind of life, you're going to live miserably, by the way, because it doesn't work. You have to come out before you can come in. You have to come out of the world before you can enter into the kingdom. You have to be done with sin before you're ready for Jesus. You have to come to that place of death, the self. And that's what water baptism represents. I'm being buried with Christ. I'm putting an end to the old life, to the old me. Amen? And I'm going to rise up with Him, hallelujah, and walk in newness of life. And when you're born again, hallelujah, the Bible says that you are raised up together with Him and seated together in heavenly places in Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. The world needs, listen, an authentic encounter with God. All right? And God wants to use you and I as vessels to reveal Himself to the world. How many know that And I think we're living in a time where a lot of people, they don't even go to church anymore. They're not even interested in Christianity, is because so much of it has become powerless. It's lifeless. It's ritual. It's routine. Are you hearing me? When we come together, it should be a life-changing encounter because God is a life-changer. Amen? Amen? You can't have an encounter with God and remain the same. But God will not kick the door down. God expects you to open the door, to trust Him, and allow Him in so He can do the work that only He can do. Because only He can change our heart. And when our heart changes, our life will follow suit. Your desires will change. The way you see things will change. When Christ is in you, you'll see things from heaven's perspective. You'll have the mind of Christ. A practical example of this, by the way, is in 1 Corinthians 14:24. We're talking about corporate worship. He says, if all prophesy, and an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all, he is convicted by all. Verse 25, and thus the secrets of his heart are revealed. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. Prophesy means to foretell events or to speak under inspiration. God sees things that we don't see. You know, I'm just a clay vessel like anybody else here. And there's times when I'm preaching things because God drops something in me and He says, say this. And I say that, and it was for somebody there, but I may not even know who it was for, but I just put it out there. And afterwards, somebody says, you were reading my mail. Well, I wasn't. The Holy Spirit was. But He worked through me. I spoke the word. Amen? And so that's good because we want to live in truth. We want to accept what is real. Amen? We don't want to be deceived. We don't want to pretend that everything is well if it's not. Amen. And it's God's mercy that would reveal something that's not right in us. Amen. So that He will grant us also the grace, if we'll repent, to be saved, to be healed, to be delivered from that thing. So God doesn't convict us just to make us miserable, but so that He might heal us, that He might restore us. And so when we prophesy, we're speaking under inspiration. The Holy Spirit is granting you utterance, the words to speak. And thus the hearts are exposed. And that's why some people don't want to be in an atmosphere where the Holy Spirit is really working. Because if they're not willing to repent and change their ways, they're not going to be comfortable in that church. And this is the condemnation, Jesus said, that light has come into the world. But men love the darkness rather than the light, and they don't come into the light, lest their deeds be exposed. So we need to be open and receptive to let Jesus come in. Amen. And thank God for His light. His word is light. The entrance of your word brings light, exposes, praise God, for the purpose of redemption. You want to know what's happening right now? God is exposing everything, isn't He? And the politics and the church, all this stuff going on right now, people are like, whoa, whoa. How many know it's a good idea that we get it right with God, amen, before it happens to us, all right? And only God can make you right, by the way. You just come to Him and open the door and let Him do it, all right? Let Him change you. But God is exposing. For what reason? For redemption. He's not willing that anyone should perish. Even the pastors and the evangelists and the people that are high up in the church, if you will, or well exposed, let's put it that way. God's doing that not because He hates them. I often wonder if some people on YouTube are doing that because they hate that person. But God exposes things because He loves people. And the only way sometimes for us to wake up is by that exposure of the light, the truth that hit us. And so we then turn to the Lord in repentance and we receive His forgiveness. He will redeem, amen? And that's what happened with David when he sinned. He was miserable. And finally, God sent Nathan, didn't he? He says, you're the guilty one. And he said, oh, I've sinned against God. He took responsibility. God forgave him. Hallelujah. So it wasn't just to make David miserable. But sometimes the only way for us to get right with God is to first become miserable. Been there, done that. Faith is what we need. Jesus said in John 16:13, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, this is the Holy Spirit, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Ah, there it is. And he will glorify me. How do we know when the Holy Spirit is speaking through someone? They're always pointing to Jesus. If they're pointing to themselves too much, you know something's problem, right? There's a problem. For he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. Again, Paul said, the life which I now live in this human body, I live by faith in the Son of God. I'm not trusting myself. I'm coming to the end of me. And I'm ready for Jesus. Hallelujah. And if you're not there yet, God's getting you ready. Amen? God's going to have a church that is holy, that is pure. And we need his grace. We cannot do it without him. So the Christian life, the true Christian life, is a life of faith and power in the Holy Spirit. There is evidence. There's substance to true Christianity. It is life-changing. Amen? Christian rituals, not so much. Amen? We need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to rely upon the Lord for grace. We need to allow Jesus to have his way in us. So as we rely upon the Holy Spirit, we're no longer striving in our own strength to live for God. We hear this in principle, and we agree with it, yeah. But there's a difference between receiving a truth and living a truth. It begins with the hearing, amen, of the word. And then it has to translate into an action, a way of life for us. So it's not a matter of striving to live right by our own strength, but of trusting God for his grace to overcome. And we know it's only in Christ that we're able to live a holy life. But we don't live a holy life out of fear of punishment, but out of love for Jesus, who loved us and gave himself for us. The more reliant we are on God, the greater his grace in our lives. And that's really the theme of this. The more reliant we are on God, the greater his grace can work in us. Yeah. Being in a place of dependence on God is a good place to be. Amen. Our flesh doesn't like it. Amen? But it's necessary. God will humble us if we don't humble ourselves. We don't submit ourselves to God, God will humble you. Why? Because he cares too much for you. He doesn't want you to perish. He doesn't want you to be destroyed by your adversary. And when you refuse and rebel against God, you're giving your adversary permission in your life. So he loves you. And to those that belong to him, he will discipline us as a good father. Amen. So Israel needed to cross over this Jordan to receive what God had promised them. And this was, again, it was a new challenge, a place they'd never been before. And when Israel was at the Jordan, they could have decided in their own wisdom maybe to build a bridge across the Jordan. But that wasn't God's plan, was it? They were to follow the ark, the presence of God. He was going to take them through. He was going to lead them through. Sometimes in our own wisdom, we're trying to fix ourselves and fix our situation and fix others. And often those are situations that God must intervene in and, amen, and bring the solution. So they had to decide, are we going to trust in our own ability, our own wisdom? Because in their own wisdom, we're like, this is impossible. But with God, nothing's impossible. And in Joshua chapter 3, verse 2, so it says, was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, holding it up, right? When you shall set out from your place, and what? Then you shall go after it, right? And go after it. So here it is. This is the simple truth, that the Christian life is a life where we are led by God's Spirit. It's not me just doing a bunch of good stuff for God, but it's being led of the Spirit. It's me submitting myself to God, not picking and choosing what I'm going to do, like obedience is optional, but it's me surrendering my will to the will of God. And when I yield my will to God's will, then His grace's power can effectively work through me in this world. And what people need is Jesus and not us. God uses us, but what they need is to have a connection with Jesus. Amen. And God will work through those who will yield themselves to God and allow Him to use them as a vessel. So we need to learn how to let go of our ways. God's working on us, is He not? To follow the Lord, it means a death to the old life in order that you may walk in this new life. And again, this ark represents who? The presence of the Lord, right? Because you and I are prone to self-reliance. I'm strong enough. I can handle it. Even the strongest people, the toughest guys, amen, eventually find yourself in a situation where you need somebody. Mm-hmm. Even in the natural. You need to call a buddy or somebody to help you out, right? But we have the Lord on our side. He is our, in the spiritual sense, our big brother. He is the one that's gone before us. He leads the way. All we need to do is follow, amen, Him. We are to take His burden upon us, the yoke, and be yoked up together with Jesus. And we're doing life together as we're leaning on Him. We're finding that His grace will sustain us. And as we learn to walk day by day, step by step, we become stronger. We become like Him. Amen. So they will always yoke a weaker ox with a stronger ox. Amen. And eventually that weaker ox will build its muscles and become strong like the other ox. And then they will walk together in perfect harmony. Are you getting it? So God is wanting us to hook up with Him. Amen. And to lean on Him and to do life with Him every day, acknowledging Him throughout your day. Pray. Amen. Be in the Word. Let God give you counsel through His Word by His Spirit. Amen. And then step out of the boat when He's out of the boat and follow Jesus. And when the ark is going through a transition, maybe you're in a transition today. God's taking you into a new place you've never been before. Amen. And if that's the case, know that you're going to have to learn how to follow the ark. You're going to have to follow the presence of the Lord and walk carefully with the Lord. How many know that one misstep can get you in trouble? Yeah? I've used this illustration before, but if you've ever been out hunting in the woods or deer hunting or something, you take one step, the whole perspective changes, amen? One step, you can miss a lot. In fact, you take a wrong step, you can, if you're trying to navigate even, right, using a compass. How many ever tried to navigate using a compass here? If you've been military, you've probably done that, right? It don't take much. You just have to be off a little bit, and you can completely be off course. And so we need to walk carefully with the Lord, and that means I have to daily submit myself to God. I need to be done with my way. That's the beginning point. If you're not willing to be done with your way, then you're not ready for His way. But know this, you're compromising something that's superior for something that's inferior. Would you agree? Our way is inferior to His life, His way. Because God's taking us somewhere. God has promised us something better. Here we have no continuing city in this world. What is our life but a vapor? It's a short, temporary season, isn't it? But eternity is a long time. And God wants to prepare a people, it's you and I, for eternity. We're in the boot camp of eternity. Be a good soldier. Amen? Tough it up. Listen to the Lord. He'll give you the grace. He gives you the equipment. He gives you the offensive weapon even, amen, to deal with the devil. And to deal with anything you need. Amen. Here's your map right here. Praise God. So we need to cross that river of death, of self is what it's really talking about, in order to receive everything God has promised you. So in order for us to go higher, we must be willing to forsake the place where we've been. You can't live in the past. Bruce was talking about it this morning. You'll miss the now and you'll miss your future. You just want to talk about the good old days? God has good things for you today. He has a future for you. Amen? Quit living out of the past. Hit the reset button today. It's a new beginning. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Thank you, Jesus. Listen, if God has been speaking to your heart this morning, and I trust He has, do yourself a favor. Open the door and let Him in. Open the door to your heart. Trust Him. And be willing to give Him the old. Give Him your life. And in exchange, you'll receive His eternal life. It's called salvation. But you must surrender your old life, the old you, and give the old you to Him who is able to do something beautiful with your life. Hallelujah. I remember a song years ago, Andre Crouch, Something Beautiful. Something good, something good. All my confusion He understood. All I had to offer Him was brokenness and strife, and He made something beautiful out of my life. We are His workmanship. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for loving me, for giving Yourself for me. For the cross, Lord. Love so undeserved. And yet You gave Your love. You gave Your life to prove Your love for me. Lord, I pray that You'd touch my brothers and sisters today. And there's somebody here this morning that doesn't really know You, but wants to know You, wants to be saved, wants to transition, Lord, into this new life we're talking about today. That right now, Holy Spirit, You will draw them. And Lord, that You will be merciful and grant them, Lord, salvation. I pray in Jesus' name, if you're here today, we're going to dismiss in just a few minutes. I'd want you to come and we'll pray with you. Hallelujah. Make a decision today who you're going to serve. And as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that's what Joshua said. Thank You, Father. We give You praise. We give You thanks for each one. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank You, Lord. Go and close this tonight.
Thank You, Lord, for Your presence. Lord, thank You that You honor the worship and praise of our lips. That, Lord, You come into our midst, Lord, and You bring new life. And You bring surprises in Your spirit, Lord. Lord, let us always be leaning on You, as Pastor said. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning on those everlasting arms. We thank You, Lord. We thank You that we are called by Your name. And we have been redeemed from death by Your blood. Lord, we have been bought by a precious price. And Lord, that price has purchased everything pertaining to life, liberty. Lord, and our freedom. Lord, thank you for your stripes that by that we were healed. Lord, thank you for that provision that you made, Lord. Lord, let every heart here lean on you, Lord, and let your spirit be the thing that leads every one of us, Lord. Lord, we take down the thoughts of man and the soul power, Lord, and let's let the Spirit reign and lead us, Lord, for there in that place is righteousness, salvation, healing, deliverance, and setting free the captives that are in prison. Lord, we thank you for all of that that you provide for us, Lord. Lord, do not start working in the hearts of your people by the power of your Spirit. Continue as we go forth from here this morning. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your anointing. We thank you for breaking the yoke of the evil one that has kept us, Lord. We thank you for all that. And we give you praise in the name of the mighty one, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jesus, the risen one. Hallelujah. Thank you. Amen. Amen.